Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming up. Well, today in my sermon, I'm going to be talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Have you ever heard of that before? Fight the good fight of faith? But doesn't it seem kind of odd that we would have that theme? Because is it ever a good idea to fight? Should we fight against our parents when they tell us to clean our room? Should we fight against them? No, that's a good thing to remember. Okay. Do we fight against our brothers and sisters when they do something we don't like them to do? No, we don't do that. I have a sister. I know how that gets sometimes. So it makes sense to me. Okay, well, in our sermon, we're going to talk about fighting the good fight of faith, because we're not fighting against people, and we've got to remember that. The real enemy that we have here in this world is not people, it's who? Who is trying to tempt us? Who is trying to draw us away from God, you know? The devil? Yeah, you're right, I'm glad you know that. Is the devil real? Oh, absolutely. But have you ever seen the devil? No, he likes to remain hidden. He likes to pretend he's not there. In fact, he would just as soon we never talk about him and never think about him, because that's when he's most dangerous. Now, I've never seen Jesus either, but is Jesus real? Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, he fought against the devil and he won. And because Jesus died on the cross, he crushed the devil's power over us. So now we know the devil is lying when he tells us to do something that God doesn't want us to do. You know, the devil was working real hard on your mom and dad today not to bring you to church. And yet they didn't listen to the devil. They listened to God. And that's why they're here. And that's why they brought you here. And that's a really cool thing. Well, what I want to be able to do is show you how the devil works. I'm going to be like God right now, and I need your help. Would you help me? Okay. You'll help me. Okay, will you hold on to this water bottle for me? Okay. Did you see that? That's not a water bottle right now. That's faith. I'm like God giving you faith. And do you see what you did? You didn't deserve that water bottle. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You just accepted it. You said, hey, you got that water bottle. Are you holding on to that water bottle? Are you? Okay. Because you want to hold on to faith, because the devil can come and just take it away. Did you see how quickly that happened? You were just minding your own business and it got taken, snatched away from you. And that's what the devil is trying to do with the faith that you have in Jesus. He's trying to take it away by getting you so distracted and so busy so that you'll think about anything and everything as long as it's not about Jesus. But now that you know what's going to happen when I give you faith, can you hang on to it really tight? And not out here, put it way close to you, right? Okay, now hold on to it, because a sermon is like a warning, right? That something's going to happen. And if you come and hear a sermon, you're going to be ready so that when the devil tries to take away that faith, you see that? You did exactly what the Bible said. You held on. You held on. And Jesus is the one that helps us hold on. And we feel like we're losing grip of our faith. We say, Jesus, please help us. And he's right there. And he tells us to listen to his word and remember that he loves us, and that's how we hold on to our faith. Make sense? So when I talk about fighting the good fight of faith, don't just think of holding on to water bottle. Think of holding on to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for reminding us that you're our Savior. Thank you for fighting for us and winning. Please, Lord, help us always hold on to our faith. Help us always stay close to you. Bless each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you now and always, because Jesus, he fights for us, and he's won the great victory on Easter Sunday. God's word that I'd like to share with you for this sermon appointed for this ninth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded for us in the New Testament book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 11. God's word calls us to action, calls us to fight the good fight of faith, not because the devil's trying to take all our water bottles. He's trying to take our faith, and he's serious. Listen to what the Bible says, how we can fight that good fight of faith and win. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, bless the preacher's words today and bless my hearing too. And after all is said and heard, I may believe and do. Amen. You may be seated. Dear Christian friends, soldiers of the cross, do you like to fly on an airplane? I sure do. Maybe it's because we have 3 adult children living in 3 different states. I appreciate the convenience and the privilege of quickly moving from one part of the country to the other. But ever since September 11th, I don't think any of us could drive by an airport or go through airport security without thinking about how evil men can weaponize passenger planes. Our presidents, ever since 2001, have constantly reminded us that America is at war. But it's a different kind of war, isn't it? Our brave military men and women aren't fighting against a certain country, oh no. Instead, right now, and every day since September 11th, they've been scanning the skies, looking for terrorists here in our country and even across the world. Thank God for the peace that we now enjoy. I bet you didn't even think about the war on terror when you got up this morning. I bet you just came to church making your plans today. Honestly, if I wouldn't be preaching, I'd probably be doing the same thing. And yet, it's not a good idea to become complacent. Instead, we need to be aware of what's happening around us. Now, I don't mean that every time you see an airport or you fly, you get afraid. That's not what I mean. But you should be aware. You should be a little bit more patient when those bossy TSA agents seem to be bossing you around. They're doing it for a reason. And we always should have a prayer on our lips, asking God to keep us and those we love safe and return us safely home. I mean, if our military just went on break for 20 minutes, imagine what would happen. Our terrorists in our world would strike and inflict untold damage upon families across the country. The words of our sermon reading remind us that every single one of us is engaged in battle, whether we realize it or not, whether we want it or not. And our battle, again, is not against a specific country. The Apostle Paul outlines for us who the real enemy is. It's not against people. This is what Ephesians chapter 6 says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. I said it in the children's sermon. We're fighting against the devil. We're fighting against the world and our sinful flesh. The devil would love to just be ignored, because that's when he does his best work. You know, the stakes are high. Our eternal souls and the souls of our children are at stake. And we're going to spend every day fighting, because the day that we stop fighting is either the day we're dead, 6 feet under, the day that we've maybe lost the battle, or even the war. So, fellow Christian soldiers, do you have the stomach for the fight? Realize the devil fights mean. He doesn't fight fair. He's trying to hurt you and those we love. Satan will use every weapon in his arsenal against us. And remember this, he makes a special effort to attack Christian leaders in a congregation. Satan often targets called workers like staff ministers, teachers, pastors, because if he can lead them into sin and take them out, he can cause chaos in a congregation. You know that. He succeeded before. We read about it all the time in the news. I know that many of you pray for me and for our staff here at St. Paul's. Sincere thanks. Keep praying for us. It's highly effective. Pray that God will not lead us into temptation, false teaching, or even despair. Yes, in fact, that's exactly why the inspired writer St. Paul writes to young Pastor Timothy. As Timothy is beginning his ministry, he's telling Timothy, it's going to be hard, but don't give up. These words also apply to every single one of us as Christians, locked in spiritual battle. So today, as we take a closer look at the words of 1 Timothy chapter 6, God's word calls us to action, to fight the good fight of faith. First of all, we need to know our enemy's objective. And secondly, we need to follow our Heavenly Father's directive. I couldn't begin to guess how many hours and how much money has been spent trying to learn about the terrorists here in our country. It makes good sense for our government to know all she can about our enemy to be ready to fight against it. Soldiers of the cross, you and I need to know about our spiritual enemy for the same reason. And God's intelligence, the Holy Bible, tells us everything we need to know. We just need to take time to study it and to relearn it, because our ultimate adversary is Satan. Do you know that Satan's name in the Greek is translated enemy? God wants us to know who to fight, because Satan, he was one of God's special forces, a holy angel, turned bad, and now fought against God and led a war against God with other demons and lost. The devil is held in chains in hell, but for reasons the Bible doesn't give, the devil is allowed some latitude to move here in our world and even allowed to tempt us. How we need to remember that. Well, we know from Scripture that he is defeated. He's lost already. That doesn't stop him, because he's the father of lies. He loves to lie, to tell you God doesn't care about you, because if he would, he'd do this or that. Oh, the devil is constantly trying to stir up trouble. He's trying to cause treason. He's trying to cause even Christians to pit against each other. And he laughs when all of that happens. Understand, we face a crafty enemy. He's constantly causing friction, even in a family, in a marriage, yes, in a congregation. Members of St. Paul's, we don't have to worry if the devil attacks us. He's already here. He's the one trying to stop you from coming to church. He didn't succeed. He's trying to stop you from listening. He's not winning that battle either, because the Lord is helping you and now making you more aware. And he has many accomplices, some who know they're working with him, and even more right here in New Ulm who don't even realize. They think they're doing their own work, and yet really when they're following what Satan wants, they're following the devil. Now, how does Satan fight? What's his real objective? Simply put, he's trying to take souls to hell. Let me make that more personal for you. He's trying to take your soul to hell. Everything that Satan does, it's planned, it's coordinated. And if Satan's plan had a code name, it would be this: Operation Infinite Injury. He seeks to bring eternal harm. Let me explain that. With all due respect to those who say war is hell, that's not quite right. Thank God most of us don't really know, especially younger people, what war really is. Some of you know. Some of you have had maybe parents or grandparents fight in World War II. I grew up during the time of Vietnam. I still remember Walter Cronkite on CBS News, and with all those body bags of those young GIs that would be brought back, I was so terrified watching that as a seven-year-old. I thought for sure I was going to be drafted next week. A seven-year-old drafted, well, that's how fear happens. And yet we've enjoyed so many years of peace. But the devil, he likes to lull us into sleep, into thinking that's what we have. He also cares more about eternal life than he does for this life. War is for time. Hell is for eternity. And if we confuse those two objectives, we're defending the wrong one. Satan knows what he's doing. He's playing the long game. And if he can get us to exchange a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of following what we think is freedom, and lay down our faith just for a while, he knows that there's a good chance we're not going to pick it up again. That's why we need to be more aware. And he succeeds in far too many. Have you ever seen video footage of a king cobra, a snake about to attack? That king cobra will just hiss and move side to side at its target, almost lulling its target to sleep. And then at the perfect time, strikes to kill. And that's what Satan does with us. He charms us. And what's crazy? He charms us with good things. Charms us with money, nicer car, bigger house, retirement funds, screen time. Now, all of these things are tools of God, blessings from God, but just like passenger jets can be, terrorists can use for their purposes, the devil can use all of these things I just mentioned to drive a wedge with us, to lead us to prize earthly things more than eternal things. But what about you, my Christian soldier friends? What would a close examination of your service record to God uncover? My friends, have we ever been absent without leave, AWOL from God? We know God wants us regularly in the Word at home doing devotions. We know God wants us to come together in Bible study. We know God wants us faithfully here in worship. And yet, how well have we done? Oh, when I look at my record and what I've done in the past 30 days, all of us deserve to be not commended, but cast away in hell forever. May we truthfully confess, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's why each of us, once we realize our sins, needs to hear God's plan to save us. We could call God's saving plan Operation Infinite Mercy, because God brings sinners what we don't deserve, heaven and salvation. Through the distinguished service of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who is human and God, he stepped in our shoes, stood at our posts, and performed our duties as a Christian soldier perfectly. As the perfect wingman, Jesus did battle on the cross and shed all of his blood and died in our place that we might live. And now God counts Jesus' impeccable record and gives us the credit, all by faith in him. My friends, weary of our adversary, confident of our Savior's victory when he crushed the devil's head back on Calvary, now we need to fight the good fight of faith. Now we need to follow our Heavenly Father's directive. What is that directive? Listen to this in the words of our reading. But you, man of God, flee from all this evil and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Quite simply, our Heavenly Father's directive is that we hold on to the eternal life that Jesus has given us. Prize that above everything else. Satan's not trying to take our water bottles. He's trying to take our faith in Jesus. And now he tells us, how can our Heavenly Father, how can we hold on to our faith? It's by what our focus is here in this life. God's word directs all of us to pursue righteousness. That is, remembering Jesus lived rightly for us to save us. And now we live according to his word, according to what he says is right and wrong, out of thanks for what he's done for us. We pursue godliness. His priorities now become our priorities. We pursue love, self-sacrificing to others, whether we're at home, in the community, in school. Even if no one else thanks us for it, even if we get no recognition, we're doing it for Christ. We pursue endurance, recognizing the Christian life is not a marathon. It's a sprint. We're going to be struggling every day until eternity. We pursue gentleness, showing mercy, especially when we have the upper hand. None of these things I just told you are easy. We're born with none of these things. Instead, God says, pursue them. Make that your focus. What are we doing? What we are doing is we're following Christ. Everything in this world is passing. Everything and everyone will die. Only God is eternal. Only He never changes. And He gives eternal life to those who stand firm. He gives that eternal life to you and to me. We hold on to our faith in Christ and we ask for His help every day. Are these orders authentic? Listen to the final words of our reading. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fellow soldiers for Jesus, our orders are authentic as we fight the good fight of faith. Together, side by side, not fighting against each other, but being each other's allies, lifting each other up, working together, all to serve Christ. I once read in the past 4,000 years, there's only been about 280 years of world peace. That's not much. Other than that, the world's been at war, tearing each other apart. Every Miss America knows what to ask for. What would she like different in our world? She says world peace, and everyone laughs, but nobody knows what that means. World peace is so elusive. God's peace is eternal, and that's what God gives us right now. We have peace with God, and now He is our most important ally as we fight the good fight of faith. Make no mistake, Satan has lost back in Eden. Back in Eden? Oh, I mean, he won against Adam and Eve, but he lost the war because his head was crushed. His power was crushed by Jesus. His power is limited and controlled. Armed with the full armor of God and with the words of our commander-in-chief to give us resolve, fight the good fight of faith. May we never take our eyes off of heaven, and may we pass this faith on to the next generation of people here at St. Paul's. Amen. For our stewardship thought today, I'd like to remind you how we are managers of all of God's blessings as we pursue God's right living. That means we use our talents, our treasures, our time and testimony for service for Christ to thank Him for what He's given us. If you brought an offering today, we ask that you drop it back in the boxes as you leave church, give it online, or also bring it to the church office later this week. Thank you for your support of Christ's mission here. As we think about our stewardship today, I'd like you to think about your stewardship of time. The time you're spending right now in church, the most important time of the week that you and I can spend to come into God's holy presence, to hear His word, to see other believers. That makes such a difference. It's such a privilege. Especially in the summer, we need to remember that. I pray you remember that next week and every week this summer. Take time for worship. And when people invite us and remind us to come to worship, instead of bristling, I pray that you have the attitude of Psalm 122, where King David said, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" May God bless you.